text 29 to 55. And this prayer describes Chintamani Dham. Chintamani Prakarasad Mashukalpa Briksha Lakshavriteshu Surabir Abhipalayantam Lakshmi Sahasrashatasam Brahmasevyamanam Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor who is tending the cows, yielding all desire in abodes built with spiritual gems, surrounded by millions of purpose trees. Always served with great reverence and affection. Sambrama. Sambrama Sevyamana. Always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds of thousands of Lakshmis, or Gopis. Purport. This, as I mentioned yesterday, this purport and the next few purports are Prabhupada speaks, he reads and on one of his tapes where he gives the purport to Chintamani prayers. So another way that could be said is that the spiritual world is built from the element of Chintamani. And Chintamani, which serves as the material in the building of the abode of the Supreme Lord of Golok, is a far rarer and more agreeable entity than the philosopher's stone. The purpose tree yields only the fruits of piety, wealth, fulfillment of desire, and liberation. But the purpose trees in the abode of Krishna bestow innumerable fruits in the shape of checkered divine love. So that can also be said like this. The general wish-fulfilling tree only yields the fruits of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Right? Piety, wealth, fulfillment of desire, and liberation. But the wish-fulfilling trees in Goloka Vrindavan yield the fruits, the unending fruits of divine love in full variegatedness. Kamadenus, cows yielding the fulfillment of desire, right? Denu means cow, and kama means desire. They give milk when they are milked. But the Kamadenus of Goloka pour forth oceans of milk in the shape of the fountain of love, showering transcendental bliss that does away with the hunger and thirst of all pure devotees. So another translation is the general Kamadenu cows, they give milk as soon as they are milked. But from the udders of the cows in Goloka Vrindavan, they perpetually pour forth an ocean of milk, that is the ocean of divine love, showering transcendental ecstasy upon the pure devotee jiva souls, and dispelling all their hunger and thirst. The words in this verse, Laksha and Sahasrashata, signify endless numbers. The word Sambrama, or Sadhara, indicates being saturated with love. So, and this verse describes the spiritual world. And there's also a nice description of the spiritual world. It's nice to hear about our ultimate vacation spot, right? Ultimately, we're working here because this material world is the place of avidya and karma. It means work, hard work and ignorance. So we want to go on vacation. Everyone that's working, you ask them, what do you want to do? If someone's working, you say, what do you want to do? I want to go on vacation. I can't wait till work's over. So same thing for a sadhaka. What do you want to do? I want to get out of this world. Hey, why? Because a materialist, he'll say, what do you mean? This is where it's at. Reshape this world and improve this world and stay on in this world. And you say, oh, T-U. It stinks. You know, we want out. We want another world. Oh, what do you mean another world? What is this other world? What are you talking about? And then they ask you to describe it, and you say, well, it's kind of like Delhi, but not exactly. It's a little bit like the countryside, but not exactly. You know, I mean, what will you say? And where are you going? What is your goal? And you don't know anything about it. And you don't know, so can't be too inspired to go there. How can I, if someone, some friend of yours goes somewhere on a holiday, and they come back from their college vacation, oh, I went to Bali for my vacation. You may be from Australia, from Sydney. And then they'll say, well, what was Bali like? And I'll describe the topography and the geography and the climate and the people and the customs and the food and the music and the culture and all the different events that they would have experienced there. At least we would think they would have these different experiences. Mental, emotional, physical, sensual. And then by hearing that, you may get excited and may get attracted. And you may develop the desire to go there when you have your next vacation. So by hearing about the spiritual world and the relationships and the culture and the music and the dance and the exchanges, you may to develop a desire to go there. Possible. So the more we hear about it, the better. Shravana Das. So Bhakti Chaitanya Swami, he gave a course on this, and he was so kind to share some of his notes with me. So we can all take advantage of his nice research in this regard. So he found some quotations in Narada Pancharatra, which give us a little more description, or maybe a repetitive description. But good things are worth hearing again and doing again and being repeated. The spiritual world is of Shvetadvipa is a great white island, surrounded by a nectar ocean of milk. And there's guards standing in all 10 directions to protect the spiritual realm. Within this realm is Mahabrindavan. In other words, that first verse described the general Vaikuntha sphere. Within that spiritual realm is Mahabrindavan, and many places known as Kali Brindavan, where Krishna enjoys intimate sweet pastimes. These places are made of Chintamani jewels, and are filled with groves of desire trees. In these places known as Vrindavan, there are many playful birds and Surabhi cows. Have you ever seen any playful birds? They talk, and they, some funny little birds. I never saw these birds, these little gray color, not gray, I guess, tawny color, gray-brown type color. When they have little orange beaks, and they're just always like, they gather together in groups of five or six on the ground, and they scratch the ground, and then they get in arguments all the time and fights and start flapping each other with their wings and you know, you ever hear them, they have all these little voices. I think someone said they're minor birds. They're a type of minor bird that you can train to speak in the West. But anyway, they're very playful and funny. Then the parrots, like the parrots, we have a little water tap in our behind my window there where I stay, and the parrots, they like to play a game of King of the Water Tap, you know, like King of the Hill or something. So one parrot lands on the water tap, and then he tries to open, well, no, it's actually called, I guess it's like, I don't know, it's either King of the Water Tap or Who Can Open the Tap First. So one parrot lands on the water tap, and then he tries to open it so he can get some water. And if he can't open it, he settles for the few drops that are dripping. He goes down, just drinks it, toot, 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 the little drop. But then his friend comes and then lands on the thing and then chases him away and says, look, I'll show you. And he tries to open it. And then they play like this, the younger parrots. And they take turns, and then three or four try to land there. And so these are the playful birds in Vrindavan, the scenery of Vrindavan. And Surabhi cows. There are many wonderful and colorful places where Krishna enjoys the rasa dance. In other words, Krishna doesn't go. It's not like the Takatori or the Coliseum or the, you know, the some auditorium that Krishna, when he goes to rasa lila. Yeah, okay, you have to go over there. It's not like a movie theater. No, he can have rasa lila wherever he wants. I mean, he has rasa lila. You know, he has in different seasons. He has in different places and in different moods. He has in different places. Just like after the Maharas. Then You know, Krishna left with Radharani left, and Krishna left all the other gopis. They were a little miffed or upset. And so then to appease them, then there was a special, Yogamaya arranged a special pastime to happen, and that was the Aristasura. Krishna told the gopis, he said, look, tonight we're going to have a special party tonight. And we never met here before at night. So I want everyone to come tonight and meet me in the Sanket Kunj and the Radhakund. This is described in the Bhagavatam, the story of Aristamardana, the killing of Aristasura. You know, you read that story? So he told them before that story, he said, look, let's meet in the night. Meet me about 10 o'clock, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night at the Radhakund. But in this Sanket Kunj is what is described. Meeting Forest Grove, which just so happened to be where Radhakund now is. So they came over there, the gopis came there, and then Krishna came there. And then this Aristasura, he came, tried to come there, but he didn't stay very long. He came over there trying to upset Dharma, because here in this place, in what would later become Radhakund, in this Sanket Kunj near on the side of Govardhan, Krishna was going to enact the Param Dharma, the Parama Prem Dharma, the topmost expression of divine religion in terms of love of God, was going to be enacted there, which is the Param Prem Dharma, the Parama Dharma, which means the Dharma is like religion, and religion means to love God. So love of God is personified and embodied in the topmost way by the gopis of Vrindavan. And it's exhibited, this exchange of divine love and service between Krishna and his topmost surrendered and pure devotees is most beautifully depicted and portrayed in the sweetest, attractive, most fulfilling manner in Krishna's Rasalila with his gopis. So this is considered to be the topmost expression of Dharma, Krishna's Rasalila. He has many leelas, sambhog leelas, with his devotees in Sakyaras and Madhuryaras. Sambhog means meeting and enjoying together. Sambhog, enjoying together. So holy festival and Julin, swing festival and holy festival and Jalkeli, splashing water and swimming in Jamuna, and so many festivals, Ban Bihar and Bojan Leela. Many, many Sambhog Leelas are there with Krishna and the gopis, where Krishna is displaying Prema Dharma. But the Param, the topmost Prema and topmost ecstasies are described and displayed for the benefit of the conditioned souls in the Rasa Leela. So Aristasura, he came as a bull who symbolically is the symbol of religion. The bull and the cow are the symbols of Dharma. So he's coming saying, look, I am Dharma. I want to establish Dharma. And you're a Dharma. You're a lampat. You're a debauchee. And you're running with the wives of other men. And you're so-called parakiya bhav. And so I'm going to come and kill you. I'm going to kill you with my horns and hoofs and stamp you out. So I'm going to destroy you and your so-called, what's the name for it? It's cheating religion. So then Krishna said, really? You're coming, posing as religion? And you're trying to interrupt my expression of the topmost Dharma, the Parama Prem Dharma of this Rasa Leela? You got to be crazy. So then, you know, Haribo! Then Krishna, I know you were meditating on the Leela. So then Krishna, you know, he just, you know, he grabbed him by the horns and threw him down and just, you know, wrung him out like you wring out your sari, you know. He just stepped on him. He stepped on him with his foot and just squeezed out his adharma. So he was posing as religion, but he was the greatest adharma. So there's so many people that pose as religious figures. Yes, this is dharma. This, you know, Osho dharma, right? Osho dharma. That, you know, he was a great, you know, the Osho Dharma. You know Osho? No show. Osho is no show. Osho. Who is Osho? What's his name? Rajneesh. Rajneesh. After he was preaching a Dharma for a few years, he got tired of that, and he decided, they asked him what his name was. He said, my name is Osho. Osho, which means no show. So he was showing nothing but a Dharma. Just like Aristasura, he said, look, I'm a bull. I represent Dharma. I should be protected. And what's the greatest sin? Gohatya. Gohatya is the greatest sin, and God comes and performs Gohatya. What kind of God is this? He's supposed to uphold religion, uphold Dharma, and protect Dharma. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. So whenever there's a Dharma glani, whenever there's a break in Dharma, you know, Ram comes and smashes those Ravanas in the Dharma, you know, a Dharma dwajis, trying to fly the flag of a Dharma. So now Krishna comes and he kills the embodiment of Dharma. And then to top it off, he takes his footprint and he takes the footprint of the bull he killed and he put his footprint in there and say, because usually the cow, wherever the cow walks, he purifies the ground. The hoofs of the cow and bull, they purify the ground. Before you build on a piece of property in Vastu Shastra, they say you should have some cows and bulls walk around there and pass stool and graze over there, because that will sanctify the land, because Mother Bhumi is also personified as a cow. So you're trying to do something on the Bhumi by building a house or temple or ashram, so she should come there. You should invite her there first in her form as a cow and bull and feed her nice grasses. So that's what's done by people that follow Shastra and have knowledge of these things. So in the very footprint of that bull, then Krishna put his footprint. Said, my footprints are, your footprints are cheating, bogus footprints of Dharma. This is real Dharma. Then from that footprint, then he just put it down like that, and then he just whistled like that, and then all the sacred rivers came there, and they made Krishna Kund. You know, you ever hear of Krishna Kund? What's another name for it? Sham Kund. You know? Just like you ever heard of Shri Kund?
Yeah.
Shri Kund. Most people in Rasa circles, they call Radha Kund Shri Kund. We call it Radha Kund. It's called Shri Kund. The Kund of Shri. Srimati Radharani. There are many wonderful, color, beautiful places where Krishna enjoys the Rasa dance. The point I was making is there's many places where Krishna enjoys the Rasa dance, not just one. Like there's one movie theater or one sports arena. So he enjoys in Vamshi Bhat at Yamunapulin and Govindastali. He enjoys at Chandra at Parsoli, at Govardhan in the springtime, and Vasant Ras at Chandra Sarovara. And then he enjoys in the afternoon in Radhakund, yes, Ras Lila. And this particular time in this Ashwin, or it was actually just the beginning of Kartik, right after Ashwin Purnima, which is Maharas. In the beginning of Kartik, he enjoyed Ras Lila at night at Radhakund, right after he killed Aristasura. Then they dug these kunds and they got this whole Lila of Radhakund, Shamakund. Then right after they took a bath, then they decorated, then they had Ras. On the banks of Radhakund, they had Ras Lila. Then, where's another Ras Lila? On the heads of the Kaliya serpent. Oh, very interesting. I never heard that. When this is explained then by Sanatana Goswami, that in one kalpa, when Krishna was playing his flute, he's playing his flute and all the Brijvasis came over there, and they fainted. Yashoda and Rohini and Balaram and all the coward, not Balaram, but all the coward boys, they fainted and they just went dead away in the banks at Kaliyagat, right? Kaliyagat, you know, Kaliyagat, the tree is there. We went there this morning, you know, paid obeisances when we do Prikavanic Odyssey. So then, one time, Krishna came and then everybody fainted. So now all the Brijvasis came there. And all the sukkas, all the mothers, all the cows, they're all fainted. So then Krishna's dancing on one head to the other head. And then he thought, oh, this is very interesting. All the Brijvasis are on the banks. And they're all fainted. And the only Brijvasis that aren't here are the gopis. Because they fainted back in Yavat. In Varsana, because as soon as they heard that Krishna was in the Yamuna, you know, in the coils of a serpent, their hearts came out of their mouths and they died practically on the spot. Huh? Whereas the gopis the elderly gopis like Rohini and Yashoda and Kalimba, etc., they said, we have to go there and help him. We have to protect him. He's our child. We're in this Vatsalya Bhav. We have to protect him and save him from danger, right? Like that's what mothers think, right? Save my baby from danger. And then the sukka said, we have to protect him, like Balaram. We got to kill that some demon. We have to go save our friend. Because there's also that mood is in Sakiras and also in Madhurya. So they all ran there to save their friend. But then when they saw, they just became helpless. But as soon as the gopis heard, they died. They practically died in Varsana and Yavat. So then Krishna said, oh, the gopis are fainted way up there, and then everyone else is fainted here. He started playing all the special notes on the murali to wake up the gopis. Jeev jago, jeev jago, right? Wake up. So they all came out of their trance of intense fire separation, and they ran down to Kaliadaha. And they got there and saw everyone fainted on the banks, and then they saw Krishna, and Krishna went. And they said, with their eyes, they said, how will we come? He will bite us. Kali will bite us and we'll die, and then you can never, we can never see you again. And then Krishna just communicated with his eyes and said, just have faith. You have to have some Shraddha in Krishna. You have to have some faith in Krishna. Don't be afraid of the snakes. 100 snakes breathing fire, hissing. You know? And so Krishna just communicated. And still they were like hesitant. They're like, he's looking at them. So then he said, okay. Then he played a few more notes on his flute. Then they just went right across. They just stepped on all the lotus flowers and all the little lotus leaves on the water, and across, they just walked across the Nagapatnis and the heads of all the Nagas and Kali. And then they got with Krishna. Then Krishna started playing. They danced beautiful Ras Lila on the heads of Kali. So in this way, as Narada Panchatra says, in different places the Lord enjoys his rasa dance. In these places in Vrindavan, there are many kunjas where Krishna enjoys pastimes, and many jeweled pavilions, brilliant as the hoods of Ananta. The splendor of the jewels on the rooftops of these palaces is the origin of the Brahman effulgence. In this way, the abode of Goloka Vrindavan is the summit of all beauty. Who is able to describe the beauty of Vrindavan? In this way, the spiritual realm where Krishna's apricot unmanifested pastimes are manifest is known as Goloka Vrindavan. It's also described in the Skanda Purana, where Narada Muni says, in that spiritual world is Lord Govinda's pure and splendid Vrindavan, which is filled with devotees of the Lord. I also stay there. Narada Muni speaking. That spiritual abode of Lord Govinda is also manifested on this earth planet, and it's known as Vrindavan Dham. Tulsi Devi, myself, and many other great devotees of Govinda always stay there. The Brajabhumi on the earth, where Krishna enjoys his pastimes, are also glorified in the Vishnu Puran, Harivamsa Puran, and many other Vedic literatures. At the time of Krishna's manifest presence, his Prakat Leela, on earth, certain very fortunate residents of this world had the opportunity to personally see the Lord and his abode. And even today we may see the transcendental places on this earth where the Lord, appearing like an ordinary human being, enjoyed pastimes. Even when manifested in this world, the abodes of the Lord are always transcendental and above the influence of material energy. And the Adi Varaha Purana, it says, they who are situated in transcendental knowledge can see that the residents of Vrindavan have four-armed spiritual forms like that of Lord Vishnu. This fact is not visible to ordinary persons, unaware of the transcendental nature of the Lord's abode. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 28, verse 11, is it describing when Krishna showed the Brijvasis the spiritual world. And that's some description there. And then also it's described in the beauty of, during his manifest pastimes in Bhagavatam, chapter, canto 10, chapter 15, verse 5, where Krishna himself is describing to Balaram the beauty of Vrindavan as they're walking. My dear brother, you are the best of both of us, and your lotus feet are worshipped by the demigods. Just see how these trees, their branches, full with fruits and sumana flowers, have bent down to worship your lotus feet. It appears they are trying to get out of the darkness of being obliged to accept the form of trees. It further appears that they have accepted the form of trees in order to offer everything to you, so that those who see them or hear of their exemplary devotional service may become purified of the darkness of material life. So, since we're hearing about the trees, this verse, of course, is talking about Chintamani Prakarasadma Shakalpa Vriksha. So we could read a little bit now about Kalpa Vriksha trees. First, discussion. There's a nice discussion also. What we're going to hear in this verse, 29, 30, 31, and the rest of these verses, is a description of what Lord Brahma is personally seeing. He's actually having darshan of this. He's seeing Govinda and his residence and Brajagokul, and he's seeing all this. And there's a nice description in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila chapter 14, where Sarup Damodar has a discussion with Srivas Thakur. And Srivas Thakur, he plays like, not exactly devil's advocate, but he plays the opposing party, and he says, oh, Lakshmi is greater than the gopis, and this Vishnu, the abode of Vishnu is greater than Krishna's abode. And then in Bengali, there's beautiful verses where Sarup Damodar, he says, no, actually, the opulence of Vrindavan is even greater than the opulence of the goddess of fortune. And the proof of that is that your Lakshmi that you're glorifying, she left her Mahavaikuntha and she left her Vishnu to come down in Vrindavan. She was attracted by the opulence of Vrindavan. And what is the opulence of Vrindavan? Well, it's parrots and flowers and Gunjamala and the pigments, the mineral pigments from Govardhan and its Govardhan and all these things. These are the opulences. And of course, there's also extraordinary opulent palaces made of gems and all these things also. So, could read a little bit about that, what he says, because I quoted here. This is from that Madhya Lila. Personally, I really like to hear descriptions about the spiritual world. Because I forget sometimes. Because this world that we live in is so powerfully attractive with illusory attractions that we tend to lose touch with the ultimate reality and the final destination. So Damodar said, my dear Srivas, please hear with attention. You have forgotten the transcendental opulence of Vrindavan. Vrindavan is sahajika, ye sampat sindhu, dwaraka vaikuntha sampat tara eka bindu. Eka bindu. Sampat sindhu. Sampat means like sampad, means wealth or opulence. The natural opulence of Vrindavan is a sampat sindhu, it's like an ocean. But the opulence of Dwarka and Vaikuntha is not even an eka bindu. It's not even equal to one drop. Parama Purushottama Swayam Bhagavan Krishna Yahan Dani Tahan Vrindavana Dam. Krishna is the Purushottam, Swayam Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full of all opulences. And his complete opulences are exhibited only in Vrindavan Dam. Krishna Dani, Vrindavan Dam. Chintamani Maya Bhumi Ratnera Bhavan Chintamani Ganadasi Charana Bhushan. Vrindavan Dham is made of transcendental touchstone. Its entire surface is the source of all valuable jewels. And the Chintamani stone is used to decorate the lotus feet of the maidservants of Vrindavan. That we're going to hear about that, about descriptions of Chintamani. Chintamani, what is that? But here, Sarup Damodar, Lalita Sakhi, is saying, there's this very rare and special, extraordinary gem known as a Chintamani Ratna, or Chintamani gem. And what do the gopis use it for? Oh, this is nice. I think I'll put that on my feet. They take this thing, they say, oh, that'd be nice on my, that'd be a nice toe ring. It's like today, Radharani is wearing, she has four toe rings. On her right foot, she has two pieces like, they're kind of like brown topaz. And on her left foot, she has one piece of topaz. And she has one beautiful imitation blue sapphire. It's oval shape, and it looks almost like cat's eye. Maybe it's like cat. I mean, it looks more like cat's eye. It's beautiful, beautiful, like dark blue, and it has a white line in the middle, like cat's eye. You know cat's eye? I don't know what they say in Hindi for cat's eye. What do they call cat's eye in Hindi? You know, the gem, it has a white line in the middle of it. I forget the name of it. Anyone know the Hindi name? Cat's eye? Huh? Looks really beautiful. So they take the Chintamani stones and they just put those on their feet. Decorate the maid servants. Chintamani gan dasi charana bhushana. The dasi charana, the maid servants, not even the sakis, just the manjaris are wearing them. Charana bhushana, they're decorating their feet. So, because this verse is talking about the Chintamani and the Kalpavriksha, so these are supporting verses from Sarup Damodar. Kalpavriksha latarajahan sahajikavan pushpafala vina keha na mage anyadan. Vrindavan is a natural forest of desire trees and creepers, and the inhabitants do not want anything but the fruits and flowers of those desire trees. So we'll hear about that also. This is kind of foreshadowing. Kalpavriksha trees. Kalpa means desire and vriksha means tree. So whatever you want, you can get from those trees. But if the tree is a mango tree and it has mangoes, oh, there's nice ripe mangoes. Let's make some fruit salad for Krishna after Rasa dance. So they don't ask for anything else. That's enough. They take the fruits and flowers. They don't ask for anything else. They don't want anything. Ananta kama deno tahan. Pire bane ban, dugda matra dena keha, namage anyadan. In Vrindavan, there are cows that fulfill all desires, kamadenus, and they're unlimited numbers. Ananta kamadenu, tahan, pire bane ban, dugda matra dena keha, namage anyadan. They graze from forest to forest, but they only deliver milk. The people want nothing else. Just like there's a famous story in the, I don't know, Ramayana or something about Vashishta and the Kamadenu. Vashishta Muni had a Kamadenu. And there was one great king whose name was Vishramitra. And Vishramitra stayed at his ashram. And he arrived there unannounced with 60,000 soldiers. And he said, when he was moving through the valley, he met some sages. And they said, look, I have 60,000 soldiers here and we're very thirsty and hungry. And we need some place to sleep. Anybody here that can take care of us? And he said, well, there's one yogi, Vashishta Muni. He's a Brahma Rishi. He lives up there on that mountain. He has a small place. You go see him. So the king went there, and he left all his soldiers in the valley. And he walked in. He said, it looks like Gurukul Maharaj's village or something. You know, Gurukul Maharaj in Mayapur, you know, with a cow dung fat, you know, huts with the thatched roofs. And he saw a few rishis, you know, swaha, and, you know, some yagyas going on here and there. And there's just one cow, one white cow underneath some bokul trees, just sitting in the shade. Very peaceful place, very simple. And he said, so then his rishi was sitting there on the tiger skin, and he said, I'm looking for a Vashishta Muni. Kalyanastu. You know, that's me. I'm Vashishta Muni. And he said, I'm Vishramitra. He wasn't a Muni then. I'm Vishramitra Maharaj. He was a big king. So then he said, I've come with my 60,000 soldiers and we would like to have something to eat and some accommodations. He said, fine. It is done. So tell me about your conquests, about your kingdom. And they had some discussion. Because Vishishta Muni wanted to preach to Vishramitra that, you know, you're in Maya. So he said, what do you want? And then Vishishta said, it is done. Anything else? No, that's all. Okay, now let's talk. So they talked. So he said, then Vishramitra said, what did you mean when it's done? He said, you go back to the valley and everything is there for you. And I'll see you till you come back tomorrow morning. We can discuss more philosophy. So Vishramitra went back to the valley and he saw all these palaces. The whole valley was decorated with golden palaces, beautiful palaces. And there were all kinds of waterfalls and fountains. And there was, the atmosphere was full of sandalwood scent and flowers. And he went there, and all his, soldiers were there. And they said, "Oh, we've been waiting for you. There's a huge feast prepared. Chapan Bhog is in this big palace over here. There's arrangements for all of us to sit and have a huge feast. And we thought this happened by your tapasya or something." So then he went into this palace and he sat down. They had this huge feast. And he said, "My God, this rishi is really powerful." So he went back the next day and he said, "Thank you very much." And then Vashishtha said, "How was your rest last night? How everything all right to your satisfaction?" He said, "Yes, it was 10 times better than the Oberoi. It was, 10 times better than the Hilton, let's put it that way. The Hilton Hotel." And he said, "How did you do that?" And he said, "It is all her mercy." And he said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I have one Kamadenu. That is my Kamadenu. Just as we read in this verse, I gave you the second translation. The general, in the bottom of the purport, the general Kamadenus can fulfill all desire. But the Kamadenus in the spiritual world, they give forth, they give fountain of love showering transcendental bliss." So, the general Kamadenu, like the general Kamadenu that was possessed by Vashishtha Muni in this world, could fulfill any desire, palaces, food, anything you want. But the Kamadenus, the transcendental Kamadenus in the spiritual world, they just give forth unlimited milk. And that milk showers on the top of the heads of the devotees, and it showers them with transcendental bliss. They take the Abhishek and Premamrit. It's a Premamrit Abhishek from the udders of those cows. From the udders of those cows, the milk is automatically flowing, and it's just bathing and showering all the devotees. What is such beautiful language, it said. The udders from the Kamadenus in Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, Rajagokul, they pour forth oceans of milk in the shape of the fountain of love, showering transcendental bliss. So this the Kamadenus, they are showering transcendental bliss that does away with all hunger and thirst of all pure devotees. So in Rajagokul, just like in Vrindavan, if someone gives you, says, "This is a Kamadenu, it will fulfill all your desires," you say, "Well, I'm just as my Lord, you see my Lord, my Shamsundar, you see my Govinda, my Madhav, he is Aptakam, and he is Aptaram. He has no desire to fulfill, he is Aptakam, and he is Atmaram. He is full of bliss and Ramana within himself, because his Ramani is right next to him. His Ramani is Radharani, so he is Atmaram. His very self is Radharani. Dui Deya Eka Atma. Eka Atma. They are, Radha and Krishna are one Atma. So when you say Atmaram, his Ram is his Ramani. So that's why in the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, it describes Krishna in the Rasa Panchadaya. It says he's Aptakam and Atmaram. Right? Generally people say Atmaram means he's self-satisfied. I know that word. I'm smart. Atmaram means self-satisfied. But Atmaram means myself is her. She is me, and I am her. And I am Ram. I am Ram. I am satisfied because I am with my Ramani. Ramani means my lover, my beloved. Radha Raman. Mere Radha Ramana Giridari. Giridari Shama Vanavari. Mere Radha Ramana Giridari. Mere Radha Ramana Giridari. So, when they go there to those Kamadenus, and if we had one, just imagine if you had a Kamadenu, and someone say, "Oh, you have a Kamadenu? What do you do with that?" "Oh, you know what I do? I get this nice milk. It's so thick, and then I cook it down, and I stir it, and I add some sugar. I go like this, and I make some burfi, and I offer that burfi to Shamasundar." "Huh? That's all?" "Yeah. Because I don't want anything else. I am Aptakam and Aptaram. I don't want anything else. And that's what my Lord wants, some nice burfi. He doesn't need anything else." So this is why it's said that the Kamadenus, the Brijvasis, Nanda Maharaj has 9 lakhs of Kamadenus. But all he does is morning and evening, Krishna just comes and takes milk from them. And then Mother Yashoda and Rohini and all, they cook nice burfi, rasgulla, rubri, all nice sweets, and then they give them to Krishna. So, Dugda matradena kehana magi anyadane. The people want nothing else. Then sort of goes on. Sahaja lokera kata yahan dibya gita sahaja gamana kare yache nritya pratita. In Vrindavan, the natural speech of the people sounds like music, and their natural motion resembles a dance. Lokera kata divya gita sahaja gaman nritya pratita. They're gaman. Gaman means the moving. Gamana madura lila madura. Krishna's walking is sweet, right? Gamana. It's in that song Madhurastakam. Gamana madura, Yamana madura, Venu madura lila madura. So they're walking, right? This parodies or this sounds exactly like verse number, what's 55 or 56, where after speaking all these different verses, then Lord Brahma summarizes what he's experienced and seen, and he's describing verse by verse and part by part here now, but later on in verse 55 or so of this book, then he summarizes it all, saying that every word is a dance. I mean, every word is like nectar in the water. The water is like nectar, and every word is like a song, and every step is like a dance. So this section of in the Chaitanya Charitamrita sounds very much, it parodies that, or it resembles that. Sarvacha jala yahan amrita saman shiranand jyoti swadya yahan murtiman. The water in Vrindavan is nectar. Sarvajal, all that is amrit saman. And the Brahma jyoti effulgence, which is full of transcendental bliss, is directly perceived there in its form. Chirananda jyoti murtiman. Lakshmi jini guna yahan Lakshmi rasamaj Krishna vamshi kare jahan priya sakikai. Sakikaj, it should be. The gopis there are also goddesses of fortune. And they surpass the goddess of fortune who resides in Vaikuntha. In Vrindavan, Krishna is always playing his transcendental flute, which is his dear companion, Priya Sakhi. Krishna Vamshi Kare Jahan Priya Sakhi Kaj. His Priya Sakhi is his Vamshi. Chinta Minish Charana Bhushana Mangaranam Shingara Pushpatarvastarvasuranam Vrindavane Brajadanam Nanukamadenu Vrindani Cheti Sukasindur Aho Vibhuti. The anklets on the damsels of Brajabhumi are made of Chintamani stone. So they take the Chintamani stones on the ground of Vrindavan, and different sakis, like the, what do they call it? From the forest, the Pulinda women, they make some nice anklets and some jewelry for the sakis, and some sakis also are expert in making jewelry, and then they just wear them around their ankles. So the anklets on the Braja Gopis are made of Chintamani. The trees are wish-fulfilling trees, and they produce flowers, which the gopis pick those flowers and they decorate themselves. They're also wish-fulfilling cows, Kamadenus, which deliver unlimited quantities of milk. These cows constitute the wealth of Vrindavan. Thus, Vrindavan's opulence is blissfully exhibited. So now we'll discuss just review and discuss some of the different points again of this verse and see if we've missed anything. The couple of rikshas. We mentioned this. When the gopis go to the couple of riksha trees, they don't go with any desire. They just say, oh, let's go pick the fruits and flowers to offer to Krishna. Because the gopis are already completely fulfilled. They have no separate or selfish hankering or desire to be fulfilled. Vishnu Chakravarti comments that originally there was one kalpa vriksha tree, and the others attained the quality of a kalpa vriksha tree by association. And Prabhupada said that we should never, well, it's actually said, but Prabhupada said we should never cut down any trees in Vrindavan because they may be devotees, or they are devotees, and they're all kalpa vriksha trees. They should not, originally there was, like someone says, is this a kalpa vriksha tree? Is this the kalpa, this one isn't, this one is. Vishnu Chakravarti says, originally there was one. There's only one Kapavriksha tree, and every other tree attained the quality of a Kapavriksha tree by association. Just like in the sandalwood forests of South India, that the other trees that lit, there's one sandalwood tree, and then the 20, 30, 40, you know, so many trees in a certain diameter, or a certain, circumference surrounding area from that, a distance from that tree, they also pick up that by associating with that one Asli Chandan Briksha, or one original sandalwood tree, they pick up the quality of that original sandalwood tree by association. They also smell like sandalwood, although they are not Chandan trees. So when you buy sandalwood in the market, which we mentioned before, you're not buying pure sandalwood. It's not available. It's not for sale anywhere at any price. So there's one Kapavriksha tree, and the other ones attain that quality by association. So Prabhupada told Tamal was telling us in his class, that the Tamal tree in the courtyard is a Kapavriksha tree. Because when they were building the temple, it was right in the middle of the construction. So generally people take out the trees when they're in the way of the construction. So Prabhupada said, build around it. Design the temple around the tree. So they modified their design in such a way to include the tree in the design. So it's still there. The nature, just to understand what is the nature of a Kapavriksha tree, is it will fulfill all desires, and Prabhupada often describes this nature. He said, if you want a mango from an apple tree, or even if you want saris or clothes or jewelry or anything, the trees will give you. So that might be good, since if any of you need a new sari, you know, you can go over there to MVT. There must be some really good Kapavriksha trees there. Because whoever lives there has enough money to buy those places. So those trees must be Kapavriksha. Fulfill your desire to live in, you know, heavenly planets. So you can ask, so you go to those trees over there, because there's some really beautiful trees there. Really, really beautiful trees in that place. And there's some tamal trees and other very special trees over there. And you can go there and then you can ask, you please, you know, you're a Kapavriksha tree, can you please give me new sari? And those trees have the power to give you new sari. But really that's not the best thing to do when you come to Vrindavan. Because if you do come to Vrindavan with material desires, surely it'll be fulfilled. And you may not believe it. But anyway, some people, they don't believe when they hear all this, you know, inflated and exaggerated talk about Vrindavan. And what do you mean? I mean, gee whiz, and these trees are Kapavriksha trees, and they fulfill all desires, and this tree can give, this mango tree, or this mango tree, or this guava tree can give mangoes, and or saris, or garlands, or jewels, or whatever you want. I don't believe it. Well, just like you may feel like that, there was one person like this that came here some years ago, and he was sitting there in the forest. The Kapavriksha tree then, you know, I mean, that means, I mean, like, I mean, whatever you're thinking, you're just thinking something or desiring something under this tree, whatever you're desiring and thinking, it will come true. I mean, that means if I'm just thinking, I'm standing under this tree, I'm thinking that, you know, a tiger, it's kind of dark now, and, gee, it's pretty late. Why I've been sitting here under this tree, the sun's gone down, and it's getting really dark. I mean, if I'm just sitting under this tree, and if I'm thinking maybe a tiger will come and eat me, and tree will fulfill my desire. No, that's not possible. It's just a tree, and there's no tigers anymore. They've all been killed, and it's like, that was, you know, there's no tigers around anymore. And all of a sudden, he turned around, rah! This big tiger came and ate him up. Because, you know, he was, like, offending the Vrindavan, and, like, he had doubts, and doubting the power of the Kapavriksha trees. So surely, you'll see that many people, they come to Vrindavan with material desires. They come here and say, oh, I'd really like to marry a girl from the West. You know, the Indian boys come here. And then the Western girls come and say, I'd really like to marry a boy with brown skin. Because I think brown's better than white. I want to marry Indian boy. And you know what happens? These trees fulfill their desires. Or they come here, all kinds of, you know, I want to go to the West. The West. You know, I don't know what it is, the West. I mean, it's just one, there's four directions. It's only another direction. Whether you go east or north or south, it's all the same. Janma Mrityu Jaya Vyadhi. So they come here with that desire, and sure enough, these trees fulfill their desire. So we're moving on the footpaths and gullies of Vrindavan. And these gullies and footpaths have names like Man Gully and Prem Gully and Don Gully and all different names. And they're surrounded by so many trees, and these trees are taking account our desires, and they're fulfilling them. So we should be very, very careful. Because if we have material desires, they will be fulfilled. But if we're only desiring, if we go to these trees and say, look, I don't want anything. I just give me service. Just like the gopis, when they go to the trees, they just say, you have a mango. Well, that's great, because I want to do some service to Krishna, so I can use your mango in Krishna's service. So that's all we should have in our mind, is the desire to serve Radha Shamsundar. And then that desire will be fulfilled by these trees, and then we'll always be living among these trees. And we'll always be associating with these trees, and we'll always be engaged in the service of Radha Shamsundar in the land of Vrindavan. Otherwise, you may come for 6 months, or 1 month, or 1 year, and come and go, and come and go. But we won't be accepted here into this land of Seva, because this is the land of Seva. And one enters the land of Seva by developing the desire to serve and ignoring and neglecting all their desires that may present themselves by forcefully engaging in the service of the Lord, and therefore transcending and all those other allurements and purifying our heart, so that we come to the platform where moment to moment, minute to minute, we're always engaged in the divine service of Guru Gauranga and Govinda. He said, in the material world, if there's a desire tree, can it fulfill desire for prema? No. The couple of riksha trees are only in the dham. They're in the holy dham. So there's not. These trees are couple of riksha. They will give you material things or spiritual things. These trees can give you prema. In the Vrindavan, in the dham, the trees can give you prema. Just like Vasishtha Muni, he had a kamadeno, but he wasn't in the dham. He was outside. Well, generally, we see that in our desire to be a good this and a good that for Krishna, it's a mixed thing. There's a lot of desire for profit, adoration, distinction also. So if we really have a 100% pure devotee to become a good singer or a good cook or a good servant of Krishna, 100% for the pleasure of Krishna, then, the trees will fulfill desire. That's what they do. Basically, the first point is they'll fulfill desire. So if you have a desire to be a good singer, mixed with the desire to become famous too, then you'll get that. The real thing is to approach a desire tree with a really pure desire. Desire to be a good singer, only desire to be a good singer to please Krishna, not for fame, for your own personal fame, not for your own personal adulation and glorification. You'll get that too if you want. They're a little bit indiscriminate in their fulfilling of desire. The trees are indiscriminate. When you go to a more conscious form of a devotee, like a human devotee, they're also a couple of riksha. Vancha kalpa trubhyascha. You ever hear that phrase? The devotee of the Lord, devotees of the Lord, they're also wish-fulfilling trees. But they're a little more clever than the trees of Vrindavan. They're a little more perceptive because they have an additional feature. They're endowed with the Kripa Shakti Murti to actually disentangle the living entities. They are the preaching Shakti of the Lord. The desire tree of Vrindavan will fulfill desires, as will a devotee, a living, walking, and breathing devotee. But a living, walking, breathing devotee will only fulfill desires that will bring you to Krishna. He won't give you something to hurt you or give you something to prolong your stay in the material world. So he has that added quality of extra mercy and the preaching finesse to properly engage you in Krishna's service and not to fulfill your material desires, which will further your entanglement in the thraldom of Maya. So that's his mercy.